You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two of CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Zagura Wilhelm Gibbs. We'll get to your calls in just a second, but let's hear from DeMario Davis, who talked with Sir Andrew Gribble.
About this team that appealed to you to sign in here?
From the time I walked in, you know, talking with GM and the coaches, the head coach, defensive coordinator, I just felt a positive energy. Seemed like they're trying to take this team in the right direction fast, and you know, I just wanted to be a part of what they're trying to do, and I could see myself fitting in with the dog pound, and I felt like it was the right move for me and my family, so I'm happy about this.
Yeah, position specific in this 3-4, what is it about your style of play that fits well with what the Browns want to do?
You know, they said they like the way I come downhill. They know I can play out in space and make plays, and they know I can get after the quarterback, so they want to be able to use me in a lot of different ways. And you know, all the things they're asking me to do is things I've done before, and so I'm looking forward to the opportunity coming in and trying to do my share.
Played a lot with the Jets. It seemed like you're on the field. It seemed like you're on the field every game. What did you gain from that experience and being in New York those years?
Oh man, New York was a blessing, man. I had a great time there for 4 years. I had played for some great coaches, played with some great players. I learned a lot over 4 years. Learned a lot about this game and schemes and concepts. So I'm looking forward to being able to apply all that I've learned over those past 4 years in this next chapter of my life.
You're entering that kind of stage of your career where you can really blossom as a player. What are you setting goals for yourself and expectations?
I always have the highest expectations of myself, man. I'm just trying to really play it to the highest level I can. And I feel like if I play at the highest level I can, I can be one of the best in the game. And so I feel like Browns will give me an opportunity and a platform to do that. And whatever it takes to take the team to the next level, that's what I'm going to be able to do.
That's DeMario Davis. Again, hungry, happy to be here, looking forward to being a part of the Dog Pound and competing with the Browns. Anthony DeLise, correct. He goes, by God, King, that's the Hot Rods music. Yes, that was Rowdy Roddy Piper. Let's go to the phones. Dan in Cleveland. Dan, how are you?
Hello, Dan.
Goodbye, Dan.
Let's try another Dan, but let's go to Pennsylvania.
Oh, there we are. Happy St. Patrick's Day, guys.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
Thanks for taking my call. I love the rant. I'm fired up. You guys got me fired up.
Good.
I mean, that's what we need in this division. I was thinking, listening to you guys, and that's the thing Pettin didn't really deliver on. You know, he's saying you got to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit, and it just, he ran a country club. How about that? Wow.
It was one of those things that was certainly getting whispered about. It was one of those things that was being out and out talked about by a lot of people. And it certainly was, I hoped to see a noticeable difference. I remember watching Hard Knocks this year and watching that it was Hard Knocks on the Texans. And I thought it was a completely different level of intensity and physicality.
Yes. Yeah. And how much of that, you know, is taken – you can only do so much with television, you know, and accentuate only when it was super intense. Yes, you want to show those moments, but to me, that was very few and far between. It really was. There was always the competitive, fun aspect of who was going to wear the camo uniforms, you know, and I guess now, because I'm particularly so proud of who dons the camouflage in real life and what it stands for, and that's our military, that it was a joke no matter who won the camouflage. It was, yay, it's fun. We're competing for a camo uniform to who beat the worst team today.
Right.
It broke up the monotony is all it did. It was like a rainy day at the country club is what it was.
Nobody wants a rainy day at the country club.
Well,
they want to play golf. Sean in Louisville. Sean, welcome.
My question is, there's a center at Texas A&M, Mike Matthews. He's the son of Bruce Matthews. If we do not sign the center out of Jacksonville. Do you think he'd be worthy of a late-round pick for a backup center?
You know, I think that that's something the Browns could look at. You've seen teams find centers later in the draft year after year, so certainly that's something that could be explored there. Could be some in the middle rounds, as the Browns have all those compensatory picks. They have three of those extras this year, so something that could be looked at if you are
right
the
pedigree.
Cleveland Browns. That's right. Certainly has the right pedigree. No question about that. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. So want to give a little bit of a shout-out to one of the guys who's been interacting with me quite a bit about the quarterbacks, Brian Kane. And he's sent out a spreadsheet that Benjamin Albright does every year at Albright NFL. And on it, he crosses off people that don't meet thresholds. This is based solely on certain thresholds. For example, he has crossed Jared Goff off of his because Jared Goff is below threshold on his hand size and his short shuttle. Now, his short shuttle is the same as guys like Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Matt Stafford. So plenty of guys who have played and been successful in the NFL. So I was wondering if his hand size got to 9 1/4 inches, if he would have not been crossed out. And we're having that dialogue on Twitter right now. I don't have his answer to that just yet, but certainly something that is interesting. And there are teams that do this, teams that will have pure thresholds and go based off of that and that alone and make their decisions at the quarterback position that way.
It's their determination to create a standard for the type of individuals they want in their building.
That's right. 216-578-0850. Vince in New Jersey. Vince.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good.
Hey, listen, I said earlier, there's an adage that they used to say that it's not the man that could do the work of 10 men. It's the man that could get 10 men to work. And I believe that we got Hugh Jackson, and he's the motivator. He's going to get these guys to play ball. And with all the experience, with the coaching experience, all the years that we're bringing in, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too. I'm excited to see how this goes. And in my mind, I really want to see just the feel. I really feel like we're going to go out there and see a different feel. And Hugh Jackson, I think one of the reasons that they think they can go this route and build it the right way is because they truly believe that they got a coach that can reach, motivate, and inspire these players. And not only that, a coaching staff with the experience to get the best out of them.
And I really feel that on April 4th, when the veterans and the new players, the young players from last year's team, who really didn't get a taste of what professional football was all about because of the approach of the former regime, that the accountability, the work ethic, I'll talk again, the physicality in regards to their preparation, the mini camps, the OTAs, the tempo and the pace with which they work will set the bar for what training camp is going to be. Because there are individuals who've been at Cleveland Brown their entire career, you know, whether it be first year, second year, third year, Barkevious Mingo, you know, going into, you know, his fourth year, who only know one way, having been a part of one organization. There will be a shock factor to the tempo and the physicality that they're going to have to adjust to, and it's going to be Hugh Jackson's, Pep Hamilton's, Ray Horton's only way to separate the cream, to separate the oil and water that will make up the Cleveland Browns that fit the proper peg of who they want to go to battle with.
Correct. I also think, and tell me from a player standpoint, how much different is it? Because remember, it was Rob Chudzinski. Since I've been here, been like at camp, Rob Chudzinski, who really didn't say anything out on the field at all.
Right.
Pet never said anything really out on the field at all. Hugh Jackson, I think, is going to do a lot of talking on the field.
I think Hugh Jackson's not only going to do a lot of talking on the field, but I think Hugh Jackson, because of the role that he's going to play as the play caller, very similar to the way Norv Turner was when he was not only the head coach of the San Diego Chargers, but also the offensive play caller. It was leaning into that offensive huddle. Each and every time it was broken, whether it was by Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Josh McCown, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, doesn't matter. He's got a certain way he wants things to be delivered and a certain break of the huddle, accountability from everyone's ear to make sure that it goes exactly the way he wants it to go.
He is the one coach in the 3 years that I've been intimate with this team that would get in people's butts. Norv Turner may be a soft-spoken guy, but you know this. When he is not happy with the way something is going, he would let people know.
Absolutely. Because
he was the one guy.
And the reason why, and this is where, you know, the offensive, you know, play calling, quarterback guru, whatever you want to call him, in their mind, they have the perfect communication of a play. They have the perfect break of a huddle. They have a perfect alignment. They have a timely motion in their mind of how they want something to look. And then post-snap, and oddly enough, and maybe you noticed this, maybe you didn't, but I, of course, playing for him, Norv Turner's, when a quarterback would drop back to pass, whether it was Billy Volek or Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees, his head nods going through the five reads that a quarterback is making because he, in his mind, is picturing the perfect execution of his play as it is printed in the playbook, drawn up on the whiteboard, and then walked through prior to you actually going through it at full motion.
Yes, and he was demanding. I just think you're going to hear a lot of Hugh Jackson because I think he's a guy who feels that he can talk to the players and get on them, but then also come and pick them up at the same time. I just think we're going to hear a much more vocal
and we've heard that from Ocho Cinco and Andrew Whitworth.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. All right. We'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. 19 rules have been proposed. Rule changes have been proposed officially today. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Number one, by the competition committee, permanently move the line of scrimmage for extra point kicks to the defensive team's 15-yard line and allows the defense to return any missed try. So that's what they did last year, making it permanent. By the competition committee, permit the offense and defensive play callers on the coaching staffs to use the coach-to-player communication system regardless of whether they are on the field or in the coaching booth.
Okay.
Before, they'd only been able to be
field. Say that again.
The offensive and defensive play callers on the coaching staffs can use the coach-to-player communication system regardless of whether or not they are on the field or in the coaches booth.
Yeah, they have to be on the field.
Now they currently have to be on the field. Number three, make all chop blocks illegal. So a chop block's when you're engaged with one person and somebody else hits your legs. It's not just a cut.
Correct. Yes. Well, what are you going to do? Throw them out of the game? Because they call a chop block. You know, this is different.
So what do you think they're saying?
I think a cut block is illegal.
They're going to eliminate cutting? I don't think. That doesn't seem possible.
My best guess is they're going to eliminate any chop block, any chop block, whether, you know, single or not, or double. Double's where the penalty comes into play, probably within the tackle box. Because there are times where, as a defender, I know there was Chris Kimuatu, the one, you know, 360-pound guard for the Steelers when we were playing them in the divisional round, came around and knocked my clock off on a power play, right? They got like 8 yards. Next play, I whacked his legs out, tackle for a loss. So I cut him in the hole. Why go high? I'm 245 with 330. Why go high? I go low, I get a tackle for loss.
When you go low.
Yeah. So
yes.
I think it's inside the tackle box. That's what I would guess.
All right. Interesting.
Next.
Okay. Next. Disqualifies a player who is penalized twice in one game for a certain type of unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
I like that.
Okay. Change the spot of the next snap after a touchback resulting from a free kick to the 25-yard line.
And we talked about that over break. My best guess is because the touchbacks are becoming so prevalent, which is what Roger Goodell wants, because you're avoiding collisions on, you know, with high impact guys running down the field fast, is the ball would come out to the 25 almost as a positive penalty for a touchback.
Yes.
And it would make for more scoring. that statistical data we'll get to eventually, or will come out by somebody.
Next one, those first five were all proposed by the competition committee by Baltimore. Amend Rule 5, Section 3, Articles 1 and 2, changes in position. This is in response to what the Patriots did to them. So they want, if you have a tackle lined up as a receiver and a receiver lined up as a tackle, that they wear those jersey vests with the appropriate number of eligible.
No way.
Give me a break. They want to amend Rule 15 to provide each team with three challenges and expand reviewable plays. Buffalo wants to permit a coach to challenge any official's decision except scoring plays and turnovers. Carolina wants to expand the definition of intentional grounding. Kansas City wants to add penalty yards to the distance needed to gain a first down on half of the distance penalties.
I don't mind that.
So was it?
So that means if you're inside the 5 yard line and it's a 15 yard personal foul, you would just go half the distance to the 2.5 yard line. But it's a max penalty of 15 yards. So they're saying they would take you to the half yard line maybe. So it's a 4.5 yard. This is my presumption, is it'd be a 4.5 yard penalty down to darn near the goal line, because it's a max penalty in a half the distance situation when it's, again, at the 5 yard line.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Kansas City, we added that one. Kansas City, prohibit quarterbacks from falling to the ground, getting up, and throwing a forward pass.
Peyton Manning.
That's ridiculous. If you trip and you aren't touched down, why can't you get back up and throw a forward pass?
Right.
That's absurd.
It is.
Stupid. No, Kansas City. By Minnesota, to amend Rule 15, blah, 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 to eliminate the requirement that a team be successful on each of its first two instant replay challenges in order to be awarded a third challenge. I agree with that. Everyone that you get right, you should get to keep a challenge because they blew it. I agree with that, Minnesota. Thumbs up, Norval. By Washington, eliminate overtime periods in preseason games. Yes.
Please, for the love of God.
I'm all for that. By Washington.
Jesus, I don't care.
There is nothing worse than like,
I just like Gibbs having to pack up much faster.
The fourth preseason game in Chicago, and we go to overtime. Last year, they went for two, thank God. But all
I didn't mind it. I was asleep.
We're literally sitting there, and I'm like, we're not going to get home till 3 a.m. as it is. And we've got to turn around, and we've got to do Browns Daily in like 4 hours. And all I want to do is get the hell out. No one's gotten hurt. Everybody's good. And we score, and I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to go to overtime. Or that game against the Redskins 2 years ago on a Monday night when we went to overtime.
Oh, God.
It was horrible.
Yeah, none of that. None of that.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. So Washington also wants to subject personal foul penalties to instant replay review. I think I might add too much time to the game.
Yes.
Washington, eliminate the requirement that a team be successful on each of its first two. So they agree with that. They agree with Minnesota. I agree with both of them. Competition committee expands the horse collar rule to include when a defender grabs the jersey at the nameplate or above and pulls a runner to the ground. If you grab the back of the jersey and are not into the shoulder pad and you grab them and have the hand strength to pull them down by the back there, that should not be a penalty. I disagree.
I disagree with that. I think it's going to be a very, very Now
that would have to be reviewed.
Correct. That's one of those situations where it have to be reviewed, because you're talking about something happening very quickly and a judgment call being made from a certain angle of, did he really have the jersey or did he have a part of the pad?
Right. I agree. Too complicated. By the competition committee, makes it a foul for delay of game when a team attempts to call timeout when it's not permitted to do so. Yes.
Doesn't make any sense.
It should be. Like, if you call a timeout when you don't have any timeouts, there should be a time runoff and they're penalizing you yards.
Correct.
Saying.
Yeah, because you're dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Eliminate the 5 yard penalty for an eligible receiver illegally touching a forward pass after being out of bounds and reestablishing himself in bounds, and just make it a loss of down. Okay. And then eliminates multiple spots of enforcement for a double foul after a change of possession.
Say that again.
Eliminates multiple spots of enforcement for a double foul after change of possession. So Disco Poom was saying, I think on the one they're talking about for the changing the down and distance, is that, like, let's say you have, it's I'm thinking he's saying for an offensive penalty where it's gold, like let's say you're goal to goal and the defense commits like a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
That it would, if you, let's say it was first and 10 and I guess that wouldn't work.
It'd be first and goal on the five.
It'd be first and goal on the five. I think he's saying they're trying to make it so that the team doesn't have to get the full yards because they were awarded a penalty. Do you know what I'm saying? So let's say a half the distance penalty. If there's an offsides from the three, let's say, okay,
right,
you should get five full yards.
Right.
But you're only going to get 1.5.
Right.
So maybe it's saying that you would get the closer to the first down, that you wouldn't have to then go.
But it's the goal.
I don't know. I'm trying to talk that up.
My point in saying is, again, it's first and goal at the 3 yard line, and you get a 5 yard infraction. It's you want to, because that's a 5 yard penalty from the 3 yard line. You want to max that penalty. So do you get the ball at the 1 foot line?
Right. So what if it's like you're at the 9 or right. the 10? Let's call it you're at the 10.
Okay.
And they get a personal foul. You would only go to the 5. Is it saying that you would go, you can't go closer?
Right.
That doesn't work
either.
But
do you split it and go to the 2.5?
All right.
So you're half of 15 yards or something of that sort.
Yeah, I wonder what they're trying to explain. Disco Puma, call us, because I know you probably have a better explanation of it than I am. I know they're trying to make it make more sense than it does. Like, there are certain penalties you can just take because it doesn't matter. You're not giving them a first down and you're not getting up the yardage for it.
Correct.
So maybe they're trying to do that.
Yep.
Break time. 216-578-0850. We'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I love bagpipes. Makes me think of when I was playing St. Andrews and all the bagpipers were out on the Old Course Hotel grass as I finished birdie on 17 and 18.
You know what?
It was spiritual.
I bet it was. It had to be.
I wore
Spanish
sunglasses
Bay.
For about 5 days afterwards. I was temporarily blind.
when we visited, you know, Pebble Beach,
uh-huh.
Spanish Bay, one of their properties, I believe at a distinct hour, maybe the 6 o'clock hour, the 7 o'clock hour, on the 18th hole, which leads right up to like the lodge, you know, and you know where you stay in the hotel and such. They do, you know, after the last round has come in, they do a bagpipe march up the 18th. So you hear them start at the tee, and they just march their way right up to the green, and then right up to the. I mean, there's a big fire pit and area, so it is pretty awesome.
It is badass.
Badass.
All right, we got the explanation. Disco Puma came through with us. We were thinking about the wrong way. It's so for an offensive team, let's say offensive team is on the 10-yard line. Offensive team's on their own 10, backed up against their goal. They get a holding penalty on them. It's half the distance to goal, so the ball is first down and 15 now on the 5. That's the way they've been doing it because the yard to gain remains the 20. And the team moves from the 10 to the 5. What Kansas City's proposing is a 10-yard holding penalty makes it first and 20 anywhere on the field. That should be the same here. So you'd move only half the distance. You'd only lose.
So you'd move 5 yards back, but have to gain the 5 yards on the back on the other end.
Right. You'd only lose 5 yards of field position, whereas anywhere else on the field you lose 10 yards of field position.
But yards to gain is
remains
20.
The same, which is 20.
Okay.
So they're saying anytime you get a holding penalty, it's still going to be first and 20.
Got it. Makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think, Gibbs?
Yeah, I was call screen.
I gotta see it.
Let's go.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I hate you all, and it's 2:39, and we're still not drunk.
I don't know.
Gotta see it. It might never happen.
Blanca, finest chauffeur money can buy. Blanca.
Thank you. I am priceless. I agree with that.
Yes.
Mrs. Zagura, Mr. Willem, on this fine holiday, best of luck to the families of all.
Thank you. Likewise.
The number one, the best rule is getting rid of the overtime. That's the only one that makes sense
in
to me
preseason.
Right now.
Uh-huh.
That's the best one.
Agreed.
What I love is the calculated approach our new regime is starting to take. It shows foresight and forethought. You get a linebacker, you release a linebacker. Your coach is going to the quarterback's pro day. It's kind of starting to set up where that trust inherently is starting to build back into the Browns regime.
And it makes me happy to hear you say that, Blanca, because that's kind of what I've been getting at with these guys. They have a plan. I mean, clearly they've got a plan. They're going to stick with it. They've talked about it. Jimmy Haslam talked about it on January 3rd. It hasn't been really articulated fully to the fans, but I think people are starting to see it as you do there. That, all right, these guys hopefully, again, how they draft will determine ultimately if they quote-unquote know what they're doing, but I do feel confident that the process will be right. The execution will be the key. Can they execute on draft day and bring in the pieces that will provide the foundation for sustained success for the Browns?
Can't agree more, and that's what we've been looking for, the stability, not just on the field play, but off the field play. You didn't release Manziel right away because you didn't need to. That's what I also like. They're doing it their own way. They're not listening to what people want them to do.
That is correct. They are going to do what they believe. Paul DePodesta did not come here to then all of a sudden take outside suggestions on what
right.
he's going to do.
And I think that, and for me personally, knowing that this regime, I will say, at minimum has 3 years at minimum. So I'll say 3 to 5 years. I think that Sashi Brown is able to put a blueprint together that doesn't necessarily have to win in 2016 and make this profound statement of how we're going to do business.
No, but you should be able to see on the
yes,
field
yes.
changes
yes.
that lead you to believe we are on the path
to
success.
I agree. And the second point to what I was going to say is by having the right man in charge of these draft picks, of past draft picks who haven't lived up to expectations, of handpicked free agents that come in at the right age, at the right price, to all buy in and be hungry and motivated to accomplish what Hugh Jackson wants to do, to be laser focused, and I've been taught this before. What's the difference between a floodlight and a laser beam? A floodlight is wide open.
Wide.
Is wide, and a laser beam, okay? It's all about the focus, okay? Who do we want to be, and where are we going? And if they're laser focused and motivated to buy into what Hugh Jackson is doing, I believe they're going to be better off significantly better off and competitive 3 years from now, simply because physicality, the tempo, the mentality, the pace with which they practice, and the accountability that Hugh Jackson will create, and the number of leaders that he will develop on this team.
It's not just about getting in people's faces and yelling and screaming, because you had that with Mike Singletary, right? And did people just tune him out?
Yeah, you tune him out. Yeah, you tune him out because he's taken a different era of football.
Right. Hugh Jackson, certainly in the modern game, a modern man of many fine tastes north of the border, Cam, in Canada.
Hey, gentlemen.
That's great. What's up, Cam?
I agree with the last caller. I'm reading the biorhythms of what's going on there, and I have great peace. I think these guys are tactful. They're tactical. I mean, they're clearly not stepping and fetching it for the media, which I love more than anything.
No, they're not.
But the one thing I wanted to talk about with Matt, because I know Matt, what's going on inside the room and also inside the room. I heard a story about Anthony Munoz, a guy I know went down and tried out for the Bengals, back in the 80s. And they said, do not go near the gym if Anthony Munoz is in there because the guy's a freak. So the guy was in there, and I think he maxed out at 450 or something. Munoz came in, grabbed the 450, not even warmed up, and banged it for 5 or 6, like, get out of my weight room, right? And my question is, do we have one of those guys on our offensive line? Because as far as I'm concerned, the offensive line is the cojones of a team. And my question is, do we have a pump head in this whole organization? And if not, are we going to focus on getting some pump heads in here?
I feel like we've got some of the staff out here.
We do. Cam, thanks for your call. We appreciate it as always. Without being in the room, I don't necessarily believe that we have that intimidator along the offensive line. Okay.
And let me ask you this though,
sure.
Because if you went into a linebacker room, okay, and you had a guy who is surefire Hall of Famer, considered one of the best to ever play his position, you're going to kind of take on his personality and his lead, I would imagine, as a younger player.
Correct.
Joel Bitonio at Nevada was a pretty nasty guy.
Right.
Joe Thomas is a great technician, a master technician, yes. Not a nasty guy. And
no.
I think the line has taken on his personality in many ways.
I agree. And I'll go back into a few of the places, or actually all the places that I played. I've spoke about him already. Chris Dielman, nasty, in your face, step on you, spit on you, grind you out, offensive guard. Okay. You didn't want to see him when he pulled around. That's who he was. Okay. Played in San Francisco. Mike Iupati was actually just a draft pick the year that I was there in San Francisco.
Nasty.
Staley, what's his first name? The tackle?
Joe
Staley. Okay. For a tackle, he's a dirty, nasty, grind you out kind of left tackle or a tackle in this league. And then lastly, the other guy, there were actually two of them in Green Bay. Scott Wells at center, you know, I mean, 6'1" max, 285-pound technician, but just knew all the line calls. He would grind you out, put his helmet right under your chin strap. The other guy, who's been to multiple Pro Bowls now and is still the highest-paid offensive lineman there for Aaron Rodgers, Josh Sitton.
Yep.
Just dirty, nasty, ugly, grimy guys that do their job at an extremely high level.
And you need some.
That's it.
This is, at the end of the day, and again, you are way more qualified to say this until my dream comes true one day. But this is a violent game played by what needs to be violent people.
Yes. And that's why, again, these eight strength coaches, they're, and again, I don't know what they do all day, and they're working together to put together, you know, an amazing curriculum and processes. And so it's speed and explosion and physicality. And then how can you redirect that into functionality on the football field when the pads and the helmet is on?
And that's one of the things, actually, that Paul DePodesta was very good at in baseball, is determining what actually, in terms of physical maintenance, et cetera, what led to success at your profession. He did that in baseball. He'll apply that rationale to football with Adam Beard and that whole team there. Now, the one thing I want to know is, why did they look at me like I was crazy when I was like, is the gym that way?
The same reason I have no words.
Do you know what I did right there, Gibbs? I hit him with the bye, and I was like, is the gym that way? And it's dancing around like a cobra. Woo!
Yes!
By the way, that's a new sound effect.
Thank you.
We could play.
For callers when we dump them?
The flush?
We
don't do that on our show. We're nice. You may yell at us and call us names.
I'm not talking about callers.
For me?
No. There's certain people in the building, maybe.
KD Watch.
Fantastic.
By the way,
push!
No KD Watch today. He chose to go home.
Like from American Pie.
Could be, yeah.
It break.
Hey, he got with Stifler's mom in the end, so he's doing something right. Well, now!
I don't know if that's happening here, buddy.
Hooyah!
Gonna hoist it up.
All right, we'll be back wrapping it up on this fun Thursday. Drop the apron. 216-578-0850. Last chance to call us up on a silly CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You going partying tonight for St. Patty's Day?
We've been invited to a St. Patrick's Day party, yes.
Nice.
So we will eat. The kids are going, though, so it's not going to be absolutely crazy.
Gibbs, you?
You know what? I will be out and about, but I will be close to home tonight. It's like amateur night. I drove past five state troopers driving in here today, and I'm like, I don't need that headache.
No.
I was just telling Tony Cartagena, I'm like, I will be jetting close to home where I can walk to my neighborhood watering hole and get polluted.
Nice. I'm going to do a little party at home, watch some of the tournament.
See, here's the deal.
Grill some bison ribeyes.
I dropped my fiance off at the airport. She's got a five-day business trip in Phoenix. She's headed there as we speak.
Sign me up.
Her daughters are on their way to Florida to spend the week with grandma.
This is when Gibbsy's going to throw back a few pops.
Yes. My fiance's like, will you be alive by the time I come home? I go, I might need detox. But bottoms up. Let's figure it out as we go.
Bottoms up.
Yeah, this has the making of just a train wreck of a weekend.
Sounds like it's going to be glorious.
If the weather was nice, that would be the cap because then I'd golf.
Yeah.
But this is going to be the warmest day for the next, like, week.
Yeah. By the way, did you know Tony Cartagena hates Duke?
Yes, he does.
Is that him in that picture that says Duke is un-American? Is that an old picture of Cartagena, or did he just like the picture?
Is that an old picture of you?
I don't think it is. It doesn't look like him, but I thought maybe it's
possible. Oh, he just Googled, I hate Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came in here and told me that the Blue Devils are number one.
I love Duke.
I like it when you throw
in the Wisconsin's going to get beat in the first round, too, by the way.
He said he went outcast on it. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever, ever. That's how much he hates Duke. That's
well, there's a lot of people that hate Duke. That's okay.
I do hate Duke as well. I hate Duke as well.
My beatbox went to Duke.
So?
I love beatbox.
So?
I can't hate Duke solely because of beatbox. Growing up, oh, you better believe I was a UNLV man when it came down to UNLV
that
Duke.
That taste.
It sucked.
Yeah, it did.
You were a Duke fan?
Yeah, my uncle was the head of sports medicine and Duke's team doctor back
Fine.
Then.
Legitimate connection.
Yes.
You're forgiven.
I went through a number of – I mean, that UNLV 30-point beatdown on Duke in the national championship game the year before, I don't think I'll ever recover from the beatdown my friends
gave. That UNLV team, okay, even that Duke team would beat this garbage that's in the NCAA tournament by 80.
It wouldn't even be close.
Stacey Augmon.
Anderson Hunt, Larry Greg Johnson. Anthony, Stacey Augmon, Larry Johnson, and
Grandmama.
George Eccles was the center
Grandmama.
On that team. Grandmama.
With the center part.
Uh-huh.
Love that.
Dude, Grandmama was awesome.
He was. Him in a Hornets uni was sweet.
What about him as a linebacker?
Yeah.
He would have been nasty. Time to bail, says
Let's
Gibbs.
Let's go drink.
Everybody have a happy and safe St. Paddy's Day.
Be safe, people.
Be safe. Drink some green beer. Be merry.
Uber.
Uber.
Lyft.
Don't be a goober.
Get
Use
you an Uber.
Uber. There it is. Public safety announcement from our friends here at CBD. All right, stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Jason Gibbs and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.